This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
And I'm Rob.
And it's been a fantastic week because I have finally got The Force Awakens.
Yes.
I have it in my grubby mitts. Well, not really in my mitts because it's in iTunes, but it's fantastic.
Your grubby cloud.
My grubby cloud. It's in my... Yes, it's in my cloud city.
There you go.
It's in my best bin collection. Okay, before we get started, I want to do something very important. Talk Star Wars is proud to support a charity called Hayley's Heroes. Hayley's Heroes is a charity that's dedicated to helping young adults with cancer and their families to create memories that will last them a lifetime. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to head over to talkstarwars.co.uk, and on the homepage there is an image with a donate button on it. That image is a friend of mine, Kelly, who runs a local oncology centre, and she is fantastically generous, and she is going to be doing the London Marathon to raise money for Hayley's Heroes.
Wow.
So what I would like people to do is just click on that little image. You'll be whipped over to her donation page. Please give whatever you can just to help grant a few extra special wishes for people and be a force for good. That would be greatly appreciated.
I'd put me down for a tenner, Mark. I'll sort you out, mate.
That's very, very kind. Okay. Right, that being said, that will be out there for a couple of weeks, I'm sure, and I'm going to try and do as much as I can going forward for Hayley's Heroes. We'll see what we'll see how that is received by people.
Cool. Just to make it clear, I'm also going to donate some. I don't want Steve to make me out to look like a miser just because he's put his donation publicly.
Just because he's put his donation out
on the airwaves. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure it's clear that I'm also going to donate.
If I commit on air, people are more likely to commit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's got one out of me for sure.
Maybe we should use that.
If you could all adopt that policy and let yourself be guilted into donating to this worthy cause by Steve, that would be appreciated.
Yeah,
I'd have done it anyway.
Okay, so where are we? Chaps, how's your week been? I know how mine has been.
Well, mine's been awaiting Saturday to watch the film where they've changed the ending and it's even better.
That wasn't true.
Well, it's partially true because we will be watching it.
Yeah, partially, but it will be the same ending. Rob, how's your week?
Yeah. It's been a bit of a mix, to be honest. Not for any reasons I particularly care to go into, but it's been a bit of an up and down one. So I'm all right now. Everything's good. Everything's fine now. We're here now. How are you?
We're here talking about Star Wars. We're fine here.
How are you?
It's
one of those weeks. They come and go. And on the plus side, I got to work on some video stuff last night, which is really, really cool. So that's an exciting time.
For YouTube?
Oh, yes. Yes,
splendid.
Indeed. Yes, it will be. I've got to find out what one of my contributors for Emotionally 14 has been working on for the last couple of weeks, and it's superb.
Oh,
absolutely superb.
I will look forward to that. We've got quite a lot of feedback and things this week.
So I've been
absolutely beside myself with the amount of interaction we've had with people that listen to the podcast. I'm really, really thrilled. Are you seeing it all in the show notes?
Yeah, I'm just having to scroll right down. It's loads.
Yeah. There's a lot of it. I'm really chuffed. So I think we're going to get into a bit of this now.
Cool.
And then we'll skate through to some interesting bits and pieces. There's a couple of things. Like this week, just before we get started, I got The Force Awakens on Monday.
Yes.
In iTunes. And I had, fortunately, just coincidentally, I had the day off on Monday.
Nice.
And I watched everything. that comes in that package. I got all the special features down. I got the movie watched, and then I went back and went through the movie and listened on headphones, really good quality headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Listened to some of the audio, which we will be talking about this evening. Some of that Ray's dream stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some very revealing bits in there. So we'll get to that, and also a theory that I've come up with off the back of last week's conversation we had about the Rogue One trailer. I got something on the boil that I think might have some
Exciting.
Might be substantial. Right, so let's get into some of our feedback. We haven't had any iTunes reviews this week. So if you are a regular listener to the show, then please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. I noticed a tweet today from Tumbling Saber. They were trying to leave us a review, but it kept crashing, apparently. I don't know if you guys saw
I saw some. I've been seeing a few bits about iTunes being temperamental this last couple of days, so I wonder if there's some bigger issues going on. But obviously appreciated that people are trying.
Yeah.
Especially the Tumbling Saber guys, who are very, very lovely chaps.
They are lovely chaps, very forgiving chaps, aren't they? But we'll get to that. but I did have some feedback from a new listener. His name's Mark Stamper.
Hello, Mark.
He just reached out to let us know that he was enjoying the show, thought the content was brilliant, but he was a little bit concerned about Steve's levels.
Okay.
What are you doing
now,
Steve?
Did you sit
back
to say that? You're talking about
that. It's rubbish. All boarded that.
And now the real Steve.
Hello. No, I'm here. My iPad was 4 feet away last week because I was laying in bed and I was lazy.
You were very lazy. Well, you're
sounding a lot better today. I had a massive TV in the way of the internet connection. It sounds archaic, but that I don't know why it just absorbed all my internet connection. So I had to put the iPad to one side. That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. No more TV tonight. iPad's in front of me. Hope the levels are fine. Fair enough. Apologise. Yeah. I have already chopped off my little finger as
penance.
Yeah, we never said you had to do that, Steve, which is weird.
No, but I quite
I'll be keeping
it.
An eye on the levels in post, and I'll be doing as much as I can to sort of
do your job, Mark.
Sorts of things. I do try. Just because you seem to be really opposed to using a microphone.
No, I this will be fine now. The iPad's got a very good mic on it. I wasn't close enough, and I apologise. I'm so sorry.
You do sound a lot better this evening. That must be
you
true.
Do. It's true. Your dulcet tones are coming.
One horrible minute, I thought you meant that a listener had said there's something wrong with my levels, I'm too loud. And I'd be like, oh, thanks.
I thought it was
you'd be in the next room.
The quality just went downhill after episode 13. I can't quite put my finger on it. Is this again? I'm dreading that review. I am.
Yeah, you're not going to get it. That won't happen. But Mark, thank you very much for reaching out to us, taking the time to say stuff. I mean, it's really... You know, that means a lot to us that you're that engaged that you feel like a lot of people would just click that unsubscribe. So we appreciate that. That's at Mark Stamper on Twitter. So thank you.
That's what they're doing now.
Yeah, I hope not. Right. Oh,
Is that what Steve sounds like?
We've got, yeah. Right. Let's get into some listener email. This is where Steve's going to earn his money. Rob, you've first got a little bit of a retraction to make.
Well, retraction's a weird way of putting it. What I'm going to do is clarify. So last week we talked about the excellent Tumbling Saber podcast, and I said that I said hello to Kyle and the other host, who I thought was called James. So my apology is I'm sorry I doubted myself because his name is James, and I feel a bit bad for not remembering confidently, but unfortunately one of my many vices is that I have a shockingly bad memory for certain details, trivial things like an encyclopedia, but for things that actually matter, not a chance. So I'm again, like I say, hello to the Tumbling Saber guys, Kyle, James, and I've just done it again. There's a new guy. I'm going to find it. He's just followed me on Twitter, so I'm going to find his name now.
Stay tuned for next week's double retraction.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to keep doing these.
I got a message from him actually yesterday. Really enjoy. It's Corey. It really. Let me read.
Corey, thank you. I thought it was Cody, but you're right. It's Corey.
He said, "Gave the latest episode a listen. Good job, guys, and love the accents." What's he talking about?
Cool, blimey, trousers, Mary.
We don't have any accents. It's everyone else that has accents.
I know what you mean. Yes. Goodness gracious. Cool, blimey, trousers.
Mary
Poppins. I'm quite sure. I don't know what he means.
Yeah. It's a jolly jolly day with us.
Right, before we disappear down that rabbit hole, we also got a tweet from Florida is Sinking, at FL is Sinking on Twitter.
Nobody told me this. Why didn't I read this somewhere?
It's in the show notes.
I mean Florida's sinking. Isn't that bigger news?
Well, that should have been your first clue. This is where we break all that important news. they wanted to ask this question. I think we can chuck this out now because this will be a. Yep. I think this will be a pretty short one. FL is sinking on Twitter. Wants to know which Star Wars spin-off, not Rogue One or Han Solo, would you like to see get made?
Ooh.
What, the one that's not even been one offered up as a possibility?
Yeah, one that's not even on the drawing board.
I took that as a clean slate, yeah.
I'd like a Lando one.
I'd love a Lando one.
Yeah, I think a lot That'd of people awesome, would like that. Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, that works. Yeah, that works really well, actually.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps after Jedi, him going
off. Could be the story of how he came to Cloud City.
That would make a good Cloud City. That's... would make a great Netflix series.
That would make a great Netflix series.
Oh, that'd be Cloud City. That's a great name as well. That's it. You don't need to embellish it, do you? That's it. Cloud City.
And it'd be a Netflix exclusive online streaming, so Cloud fits.
Yeah.
Let me think.
Look at us cracking it open.
Cloud Disney. City Diaries, a romantic one how some girl is in love with Lando and he keeps playing her about and she gets locked up in Thailand for carrying drugs and stuff.
What?
It'd be awesome.
Let me think.
Sorry, we brought the real world into it.
Yeah, let me think. I'm trying to think what else might be good. There's a lot of scope. I mean, you know, ultimately you could do a series about how the Knights of Ren came back into the, you know, how the dark side came back into the fold. Because obviously when we last left the films before episode 7, there was a big gap.
Mm.
There's huge, you know, volumes of blank space in the Star Wars universe that can be filled in. I mean, that's the great thing about it now is because it's one of the upsides to what is otherwise a bit of a shame with all the Legends canon stuff being, you know, scrubbed and then sort of sparingly reintroduced, is you do have a lot of scope to play with. I would like to see them bring back some of the storylines from the expanded universe, like the Luke's Jedi school, because there's a series called Jedi Academy, which is really good, about Luke's attempts to train some new Jedi. One of them falls to the dark side and puts Luke in a coma. What else was there? I'm trying to think what other ones would be good. I'd like to see because I've been thinking more and more about what you said about True Grit.
Oh yeah, with the Boba Fett.
And I kind of like the idea of a series like that. But I don't know.
Not with Boba Fett though. They would use him in the movies, wouldn't they?
Boba Fett is very weak for me. Anyone who wears a helmet all the time, unless they're going to take it off, it's very hard to connect with a character like that.
Yeah, maybe.
That's why you would have that's why I said the True Grit thing, so that the young girl, like the, I forget her name, the character, I think it's Maddie. She would be the focal point of the show, but then you hang everything else on Boba Fett being there, sort of stoic, rarely says anything. Like Silent Bob, Silent Boba Fett.
Well, we said this before, I mean, you talk about Vader, you know, people might say, oh, well, Vader's a big character, he's got a helmet on, but he's hardly in it. His presence makes you think he's in it all the time, but he's not.
Yes, true. I mean, he's barely in any of the films for any large length of time apart from episodes 2 and 3, and even then, you know, obviously it's quite a different proposition. There's a lot of scope
there. I always know what he's getting you for Christmas every time. It's useless.
Because you feel his presence.
Yeah,
that old chestnut.
Yeah.
I have a very clear answer to this, and it would be the same answer no matter who asked and how often they asked. I just want to see an Obi-Wan film.
I'd love to see an Obi-Wan film.
What, with Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, absolutely with Ewan. I want that 20-year gap. I want him to play around in that 20-year gap.
Yeah. And not so wooden, please.
No, it would be
good.
First class.
Yeah, no Lucas involvement, thank you.
So there you go. At FL is sinking, Florida is sinking. Hopefully that answers your question. We would like to see a Netflix series about Bespin and a True Grit style Boba Fett movie. I want an Obi-Wan movie, which, from what I'm hearing, we're going to get.
I'm also with you on the Obi-Wan movie. I think there's a legend story which is really good, just called Kenobi, which is about him being on Tatooine while Luke Skywalker's growing up, and something like that is just prime candidacy for a movie. It really is.
I wonder if Ewan McGregor is literally sitting at home thinking,
"Ring."
Yeah.
It is a story. It's in the show notes for tonight. So if we get there, I'll bring you up to speed with what's going on.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's in the show notes. And if it isn't, I'll throw it in.
Yeah. And right. Thank you, Florida Sinking, for the question as well.
Yes, thank you, Florida Sinking. That's a really cool one. Right. We have an email from Connor, who possesses the greatest Twitter handle in the world ever, at BaldyWookie. Steve, you wanted to read this email through?
Yes. So he said, first off, let me say how much my son Leo and I enjoy your show. Thank you very much. It's great to hear a group of grown-ups, elderly people, talk Star Wars, pun intended. As a man in my mid-40s, well, he's a lot older than us, not at all. having a grown-up with the Star Wars and now having a 16-year-old son who loves all things geek like me, we have a question. Here goes. At the end of episode 4, I guess he means there, Ep VI.
Six.
Yeah, Ep 4,
no,
we see Luke.
Steve.
Oh, sorry, VI, not IV. Sorry. Yeah, it's 6. Sorry, I knew
that.
I'd
be fooled by those cheap calendars, mate.
Yeah. We see Luke and the Force Ghosts. If he, Luke, is indeed in contact with these ghosts, not the goats, they're something else altogether. Do you think that he is talking to them? And if so, is Vader listening to Kylo Ren but not making his presence known and therefore seeing Darkseid rising again? And is that what we see in Luke's face at the end of episode, what's that, V? I can't read it from here. My glasses on.
7,
EV11, yeah. A knowing that the battle has just begun.
Ooh.
I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this on a future show. Well, this one. Keep up the good work and live long and prosper. Damn wrong film. May the Force be with you always. Very cool. Thank you very much.
I think that's awesome.
So thank you, Connor. That's awesome.
I've broken that down underneath there into three helpful little chunks.
Maybe I should have gone to them first.
No, that's fine, because he's taking the time to read. He's taking the time to write the email, so I'm glad we've taken the time, or you've taken the time to read it for him. So this is how I've broken that question down. Firstly, is Luke communing with Yoda, Obi-Wan, and Anakin in Return of the Jedi? Should we do that bit first?
Okay.
Is he communing with the Force Ghosts that he sees?
I don't think it's clear. My feeling is that the impression I get from the previous films is that the decision to appear as a Force Ghost very much lies with the Jedi who occupies the ghost form. And it's up to Jedi to learn the ability to commune with the spirits, thus Obi-Wan learning to talk to Qui-Gon. At no point is it suggested that Luke has learned that skill.
Apart from the fact that he talks to Obi-Wan.
True. That's true.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, he does. That's true. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that.
I think it's probably for the dogmatic Jedi, including Yoda, it's probably a skill that needs to be learned. And they need to get out of their own way so that they can learn it. But for somebody like Luke and somebody like Anakin, who are essentially virgences in the Force, aren't they? We know Anakin is because they pointed that out.
Luke is obviously son of Virgin.
Son. So I think that they are sort of powerful enough to pick up on these skills naturally.
Yeah, I suppose. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but that makes a lot of sense. So maybe I suppose I have to retract that. So that's a good episode for that.
This is the retraction episode, right? We found show title.
I think in Jedi, I don't think Lucas. We certainly didn't. They didn't speak about it like Qui-Gon Jinn did. It was Yoda, wasn't it, in episode 3, whatever it was. But I don't think Lucas had that in mind. I do think this would be a brilliant idea, and I love where he's going with it. I think it's possible in episode 7 that it's happening, and if not, they overlooked it as a really good storyline, because it would be awesome if he was communing with Anakin.
I think
the Luke bit. We haven't gone on to the
No, that's all right. I mean, it's good. Let's just freeze.
Yeah. I think if Luke was also learning, through the Force, in his remote location, that would mean a lot of dialogue wouldn't be required. Really, he just said, "Look, I know what's going on.
Yeah,
off we go. Yeah. Let's have a lightsaber fight."
That's pretty much where I am with that.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and kind of revise my previous statement. So, okay, with that in mind, actually, with what we've just discussed, I'm going to say that actually, I think that the mention of learning to commune with the ghost of the Force in episode 3 is a plot hole, because it suggests that in episode 6, I mean, the original thing in episode 6 is just Luke has become a Jedi, thus he is, what, you know, he's become stronger in the Force and he's more in tune with it, so he can see more than he would otherwise have been able to see.
But that's very gradual, though, throughout the whole trilogy. Somebody else pointed this out, so this isn't my observation. This is something that I've just taken on. I just accept this now as being lore. When Obi-Wan dies in episode 4, Luke hears a disembodied voice. And initially it's sort of portrayed as if he's not really quite sure if he's heard what he thinks he's heard.
Yeah.
It's not until Empire when we are introduced to the concept of Luke getting stronger within the Force, because now he's got telekinesis, so he can call the lightsaber to him and things like that. He starts to see a very faint image of Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And then by the time he gets to Dagobah and he starts to train and he starts to get stronger within the Force, he starts to have Force visions like Rey, which we're going to talk about later, when he sees an image of Vader.
Yep.
And I will maintain that the doorways that he sees inside that tree where he's at has the vision of Vader. The edges that we're seeing, or the square edges, are actually the shape of the doorways in Cloud City. So I think he's having a premonition when he's in that little tree cave.
Yeah.
And then by the time he's done on Dagobah, he's seeing a much more solid ghost form
of Obi-Wan. That's true.
And he's fully conversing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Jedi, Obi-Wan, by the time when he goes back to Dagobah and Yoda dies, he sees a perfect Force ghost.
Yeah.
Sitting on a log.
So he's gradually gotten stronger in the Force and his ability to commune with Force ghosts has gotten greater. I'd say that what the dogmatic Jedi were actually learning is how to get out of their own way so that they can become one with the Force, so that their Force ghosts are possible.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't quite explain why we don't see Qui-Gon at this point, but we do see Yoda and we do see Obi-Wan, and then by the end of Jedi, we get to see young Anakin again.
Yeah.
See, I think this is another complete oversight by Lucas in episode 3. Much like the Medichlorian crap in episode 1, this is like, why mention that, oh, look, if you get really good, you'll be able to convene with people who've passed on. Why can't they just, you take the etherealness out of the Force by talking about it that much. Why can't you just say, look, if you're that good a Jedi and you become a Force ghost, there ain't no question about whether you're going to be able to convene. You'll be able to come back at whim whenever you want, because that's part, don't ruin it with talking about it too much.
Yeah, with episode 3, he sort of says that a friend from the past has found a way to come back from, you know, there's a way that he phrases it that makes it sound like Qui-Gon has carried on learning after he's died.
Yeah, but it's all like Jedis will have always been able to do that for millennia.
Sure,
they haven't just learned about it. And that's kind of what really annoys me about the whole way he lost his way with those films. I know you really hold him in high esteem, but that crap really chaps my ass.
No, well, I can understand that.
I think what is interesting, it kind of, this will dovetail neatly into the Kylo Ren section of the question, is that what George did, I think, when he was creating that aspect of the Force, is he introduced this dichotomy where the Sith want to live forever. And like Palpatine said in episode 3, the dark side of the Force is pathway to these unnatural abilities. And his master, who was, Snoke.
Yeah, it's heavily implied that it's Plagueis.
Yeah.
Because, although they never specifically outright say so.
It's sort of hinted at, isn't it?
Yeah.
That he'd found methods within ancient Force methods, if you like, to extend his life unnaturally.
Yeah, and to create life as well.
Because
they're
running from death, and the Jedi learn how to become one with the Force.
One with it,
and embrace death, because it's only a transition to the next level of existence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very selfless and selfish way of dealing with departure from the physical realm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite interesting. And with what Connor's asking about Kylo, do we think Kylo is talking to Anakin? There's no indication in The Force Awakens to me that Kylo's had any connection to Anakin.
Yeah, I'd say Vader, the opposite.
Yeah. Either real or perceived. I think he's sitting there desperately hoping that at some point he's going to be answered.
Yeah. I think if we accepted that he was talking to him in a conversation that we can't hear the other side of, it blows apart the whole idea of him going for the finishing what he started, because the whole thing we've been shown so far, obviously this is subject to change if they've gone down a different route in the story that we're not privy to yet. The whole idea of Kylo finishing what Vader started blows apart if he's been talking to Anakin, because Anakin saw the light before he died.
Yeah.
So this is what I think we talked about in the previous episode. I couldn't get my head around the idea that Kylo would never have heard any stories about how Vader came back from the darkness at the last minute.
Yeah. But that's probably some of that, I would imagine, from the Empire's perspective, would be propaganda.
Yeah.
You'd frame Luke as the murderer and the Vader and the Emperor as his victims on that Death Star.
Yeah.
That's probably propaganda, but why?
But that's Han fine. That's
Leia
fine.
Wouldn't have said anything.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was about to say. Is that's fine for, you know, when he's spending time around the First Order, but he spent the bulk of his sort of growing up with his mum and dad.
Yeah.
You know,
but I think
it doesn't make
Kylo
sense.
If Kylo proved anything to us in Force Awakens, it was that he wasn't all there, was he? He was a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic. So
I'd say so.
He's not making the most logical of choices.
No.
But the third part of the question about Luke.
Yeah.
Would Luke be learning about the rise of the dark side from Anakin or from...
I think that's more probable. That third one is definitely more probable, and I could totally see it being at the beginning of episode 8.
Mm.
The only thing is, I don't think for a second he needs to be told that.
No.
After I read Connor's question, I did a couple of things. I thought about the end of that end scene with Mark on Skellig Island.
Yeah.
And the expression that he had on his face. And I was trying to puzzle out what we're being shown there. And I went back to the audiobook and listened to the last few minutes.
Yeah.
To see how they disseminate that information in the book. And basically, it's kind of the only thing it says, and I've written it down so I can get this right. In the book, it describes Luke as having a haunted countenance.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't tell us anything at all.
I have a theory about it, if you want to hear it.
Please do, yeah, go on.
All right, so my theory is that it's finally dawned on him with Rey's arrival on the island that, I think that part of this, so I kind of go with part of this question. I think part of the reason looks haunted is because he's realized that the First Order is, you know, is a force to be reckoned with. No pun intended. And I think it's also partly down to the fact that he's realized that his bowing out and taking and sort of deserting the resistance has led to the death of one of his best friends. And I think he's haunted by guilt. And I think he's also haunted by what he knows is, I think Connor's partly, I think, like I say, I kind of partly go with Connor on that one. I think he knows that kind of a big change is coming and it's going to be a big fight from now. But I think he also feels bad for his indecision and his inaction leading to the death of one of his best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his oldest friends, most importantly as well. Because obviously him not being there, he could easily convince himself that Han's death is his fault. And we may see that kind of, you know, pan out in episode 8. I think there's an element of that to it.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a rivaling theory, but Steve,
all right,
can we get your take on it?
Well, I mean, mine's pretty much, like I said, I mean, I like the ideas. I mean, we're talking about Luke now, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's highly likely that he's had some influence from the Force in relation to knowing what's been going on
mm-hmm.
all the happenings in episode 7. I think it's almost a certainty because you can see it in his face. Yes. And that facial expression to me screams out Han's death.
I'll definitely go with that.
Yeah, I think he knows. I think almost like a disturbance in the Force when Han died, because he's got a closeness to Leia, and they've built these bonds. And who knows? You know, there's no on-off switch for, you know, how Force sensitive you are. Maybe, like we've spoken about this at length before, maybe everyone's got a bit, and some people have got more than others. And I think Han, it might have, you know, he might have a big influence in the Force, even if he's not Force sensitive. So I think Luke is definitely aware of something at the end of episode 7.
Yeah, I think he's aware of something.
Okay.
My take on it is, because I'm going to play Sith's advocate here.
All right.
My very clever play on words there. Celebrate me. Good. Boom. I think...
celebration.
Celebration. Mini Mexican way for me. I think Luke's definitely feeling stuff, right?
Yep.
But much the way Obi-Wan felt the deaths of everybody on Alderaan when he was on the Millennium Falcon.
Ooh.
You know,
I know where you're going with this.
He gets a feeling. And if you watch at the end of episode 7, just after that thing on the catwalk that always makes a little tear roll down my cheek, Leia is knocked off her feet literally.
Yeah.
When she's on the Rebel base or the Resistance base by that event. Now, I don't think it's as simple as Leia or Luke feeling Han die.
And okay.
I think because if Luke's now a Jedi master, right?
Absolutely,
and if he's studying the ways of the Jedi and what we've just been talking about, the ghosts and the transition of from life into being one with the Force.
Yep.
I don't think the simple loss of Han's death would be enough to cause that look on his face.
Okay.
I think that, yes, he'll mourn the loss of a friend.
Yeah.
But to my mind, what knocked Leia off her feet and what's giving Luke pause for concern is the last of the light dying in Ben Solo.
Okay, yeah. That wasn't what I was expecting you to say, but I think you might be right there.
Because that's the way I've always read that scene.
Yeah, I was expecting you to say the Hosnian system.
No, I think it's much more of a personal thing, because this loss that he felt after the fall of the school that sent him into hiding, the betrayal by Ben, and the slaughter of the students, was enough to send him off to Arctu, where he's there, he's living out his days. I'm sure he felt that he was done.
Yeah.
But that last thing, you know, all the while Kylo's having these conversations with that melted Darth Vader helmet, and he's saying things like, I'm feeling the pull of the light. You know, he's fearful of the good in him. As long as that balance is there, I'm sure Luke's kind of aware that there's a possibility that he'll come back for the whatever's going on, because obviously he's not privy to everything that's going on. But that second where Kylo takes Han's life, and there's a micro moment that flashes across Adam Driver's face. It's an absolutely exquisite piece of micro acting. It's just like this shock, like a bubble's popped inside him. And then you see Leia knocked off her feet. Now, I think that's him finally gone to the dark side, and that last piece of light has gone. And that was clearly the intention of doing that, was to extinguish that last piece of light.
Well, that's what he wants it to do, if nothing else.
Yeah. And that's what I think Luke's felt, is he's gone. And then Rey turns up. There is a possibility, I'm sure, that Rey may be, you know, my theory that Rey is a vergence in the Force created by Luke.
Yes.
He may have been convinced that she's been dead all these years. And then when she turns up on the island, he thinks, of course, this is the way it's going to go. And then it's the call back into action.
Yeah.
But that look on his face, that's because he knows that any chance they had to avoid the dark side rising again is gone.
Yeah. I'm going to extend on your theory, actually, because I do like it. We were talking before our big Snoke theory, obviously the one that sort of dominated the discussion in episode 13.
Yeah.
And we talked about how Luke was kind of like we talked about how Luke had potentially created a divergence in the Force. What if he's kind of almost a bit afraid of the power he's created? So when she turns up and shows him the lightsaber, he sort of goes, oh, not you.
Yeah.
You know, anybody but you.
So he might be privy to things that we haven't learned yet.
Absolutely. Sure. So yeah. I mean, they might just say to him, look haunted. And he'd be like, why? Like, you'll find out.
Yeah. When we've worked it out and written it. But to my mind, Luke may have learned in the years between Jedi and The Force Awakens, he may have learned that Anakin was the creation of a Sith Lord.
Yes.
And so this powerful vergence in the Force that was prophesied by the Jedi had fallen and had massive negative effects on the galaxy. He may have learned all that after he'd made his own, you know. He may have read that. It's like turning to the last page and reading the small print and thinking, oh no, what now? Mm-hmm. He's looking at Rey thinking, you're just going to go the same way, which is where I think this trilogy will go.
Yeah,
I think she's going to be Anakin's story all over again. But that's, you know, that's by the by. There are a few ideas. Hopefully, God, we went on a bit there, didn't we? Hopefully, that's hopefully that's comprehensive enough for Connor.
I'd be very surprised if it's not.
Yeah, but that's kind of where I think we are.
I don't know what we could do.
To surmise, I think, yes, Luke is communing with the Force ghosts by the end of Jedi, and in between Jedi and The Force Awakens, I'm sure that he has studied with them continually all that time.
Certainly while he's been on his own, because he doesn't look like a crazy man who's climbing the walls.
No.
Obviously, there are no walls on Skellig Michael Island so much, but, yeah, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's been driven crazy by loneliness. So he's obviously communing with somebody.
And there
whether there's a village on the island that he sort of goes to for the essentials, or whether he's communing with the Force ghosts, we don't really know at this point. But I think either one's plausible.
Yeah, and there's rumours that Frank Oz is in the UK.
Yep.
For Episode 8. So
okay,
could be more Yoda action.
Could well be.
So, yeah, I'm sure he's been communing with those Force ghosts. And I don't think Kylo has had any connection with Vader at all. I think he's just desperate for that to be a thing, but it never will be.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Luke felt the last of the light extinguished from Ben Solo by the end
of Episode 8. I'll go you one further on the Kylo Ren, actually, as well, and surmise that he's desperate to commune with the Force ghost because it's a sign of power.
Yeah.
So maybe he's desperate to do it and he's kind of trying too hard because he wants to be powerful enough in the Force, because he will have no doubt been taught that that's a sign of Jedi ability.
Yeah.
So maybe he's trying to do it out of desperate, you know, maybe he's sort of talking in that desperation to kind of get some sort of response because he knows that it means he's kind of arrived, as it were.
Yeah, that sounds plausible to me.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Steve, you got anything else you want to say on the topic of Connor's email?
No. You might be looking at a two-parter here, Mark.
Yeah, it could be, couldn't it? All right, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to jump over because I just wanted to give a shout-out to somebody, actually, who's...
Okay.
Even though I haven't interacted with her at this point, you've seen this. I wanted to say thank you to a Talk Star Wars listener, Catherine Clarkson, for being such a loyal supporter, for want of a better way of putting it. She's constantly retweeting us. Rob, do you know Catherine?
I do, yeah. She's a friend of mine, yeah. She's utterly incredible when it comes to supporting her friends in their creative endeavors. I could not ask for more. It's just been incredible.
It's just been so nice. Every time I see one of my tweets retweeted, I open it up and I've got to the point now where I think, well, that's going to be Catherine. Because every time I see a retweet, 9 times out of 10, it's her, you know.
Or me.
So, or you. So I wanted to give her a shout-out just so that I've noticed and I'm greatly appreciative of it. And I just wanted to say people should check out her blog, which is cloudzombie.blogspot.com, and the Facebook page, and give her a little follow on Twitter, @cloud_zombie. And have a look at the sort of things that Catherine creates. Just want to try and return the favour because I really do appreciate the support. So thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, thank you, Kat. Obviously, you know, I thanked you in person before, but it is very humbling to have somebody who's so kind of supportive of of their friends when it comes to creative projects. And obviously, you know, by a logical extension, supporting this wonderful endeavor that I've stumbled into on happenstance.
Well, you've helped give it to this point, Rob. So,
well, you know, I try.
It's as much yours now.
He'll retract it next week, anyway, Mark.
He will in the double retraction episode.
Retraction, right. Retraction.
There's two things I really wanted to talk about this evening.
Okay.
There's the theory about the guy in the cloak in the Rogue One trailer, and there's the content of Rey's vision in The Force Awakens.
Yes.
There's a couple of other things that I need to talk about that tie into those. So what should we do? Should we do those bits now and then circle back to some of these news points if we get the time?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, does that sound good?
Yep.
Sounds awesome.
Okay, so I cooked up a little theory this week about the character we see in the trailer for Rogue One, who walks into that darkened room with the two Royal Guard.
Yes.
And I'm going to tear through this so there's not to burn up too much time on it, and then get your guys' input on it. I suspect that character we're seeing is a Sith Inquisitor.
Okay.
Now, it's a concept that's been introduced in Rebels.
Yep.
Which are Force wielders or Force sensitive lightsaber wielding non-Sith, non-Jedi. Kind of like Asajj Ventress.
Yes.
Now, that image that we saw, which I'm currently not looking at, but we saw like a back to tank on a little plinth, looked like a little stage.
Yes.
And then a couple of Royal Guard left and right. And then we see this character enter the room cloaked
and then kneeling
and
down.
Drop into like a kneel position. I suspect that's the Inquisitor.
Okay.
Anakin is out of the armor and in that Bacta tank trying to heal himself, which is why he's flanked by Royal Guards.
Yeah, good idea.
I like that.
He's vulnerable. And the one person he needs to be protected from is the ambitious apprentice.
Yeah.
And I suspect that is Mads Mikkelsen's character, even though it's being strongly rumoured at the moment that he plays an engineer that designed the Death Star, and he may or may not be Jin's father. There's a lot, I do cover it in the article I put up on the site on Monday, but there's a lot to suggest that Jin, having been on her own from 15, may be an orphan and not be her father. And even if it is, why would she be motivated to go after him after all those years? I don't know.
Yeah, would fit thematically as well. I mean, you see a lot of times people get kind of drawn into groups in films having previously been orphans, and, you know, they kind of find a sense of belonging in a new social, in a new group.
Well, it's happened in both.
With a purpose.
In all the trilogies, in all the Star Wars trilogies so far, isn't it? Even though we're only one film into this one.
It's very much a Star Wars kind of,
theme.
Trope's the wrong word, but a common thread that kind of binds them all together is one of these kind of, you know, somebody who's previously had no direction being given a purpose by joining up with some kind of similar charactered individuals.
Yeah. Now, with regard to Mads Mikkelsen playing this role, some time ago when he was first attached to the project, he started signing autographs as Galen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He'd sign posters and things as Galen. And that indicates to me the character in the Expanded Universe in the Force Unleashed games.
Yes.
Called Galen.
Galen Starkiller.
Yeah. His actual name is Galen Marek. And he went by the name of Starkiller.
That's right. Sorry, yes, you're right.
He was portrayed by Sam Witwer in the games, and he was Vader's apprentice, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, that's the game where the guy's pulling the Star Destroyer down.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
So I think this figure we're seeing in this image might be Mads Mikkelsen playing a retconned version of the Galen Marek character.
And as unlikely as it feels, because I think the video games tend to be stuff they don't tend to bring back into proper canon, with exceptions. Because, I mean, they brought Karl Katarn in from the video games, and they brought in, obviously, all the sort of Sith Lords and stuff. from Knights of the Old Republic, but I really like this thing. I have to say, I've reread the article while we've been talking, because I did read it when it first went up, and I've since, it's all kind of gone straight out with the other side, because I've got a shocking memory at the moment. So I had another read of it, and the tell you what, I love it. I really like this. Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds pretty really neat, do. Because if you think about it, in terms of the importance, there is a need for a character like that in this movie, because the good guys need someone to defeat.
Yep.
And we can't have Vader punked two films in a row. So
that's true.
Vader needs to be failed by one of his own. And
Galen
needs to die at the hands of the rebels.
Yeah.
But Vader can't have a failure here and then go into episode 4 and have another failure, because it starts to undermine that character.
He's like the worst temp in the world. Yeah.
I'll
just work Saturdays.
And it also sows a nice seed that Galen would be proto Luke for Vader. If Vader's trying if he's using that Bacta tank to try and get Anakin back to full strength, Galen might be an opportunity for him to challenge the Emperor for dominance and become the Sith Master, and then fully indoctrinate Galen as his Sith apprentice.
Yeah, that bit of the theory, I don't see it. I don't know. Maybe it's possible, but that one I see less likely to happen.
Well, it happens in Empire.
Vader
deciding
he's
going to challenge Palpatine.
Yeah, that's true.
That happens in Empire. Because that's what the bun fight is over Luke, and as soon as Luke's on the table, both of them are calling each other on their lies.
Yeah.
So it happens there. So it wouldn't surprise me if Vader had designs on that sort of move early on.
Maybe.
And he saw an Inquisitor as the way to do it.
Yeah. Now here's a question I have for you then, based on that theory. So if we assume that your theory is completely airtight and concrete, what then for Ben Mendelsohn's character?
Well, you've always got that that politician in there, as well as, like, it would be the Tarkin Vader of thing, wouldn't it? So you'd have Ben Mendelsohn and Galen.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure. I haven't really formed a solid idea of what Mendelsohn's role
is going to be.
It's Grand
Admiral. He does seem very hands-on, doesn't he?
Yeah. But I don't really know. I mean, I've heard sort of talks that he'll be from a different branch of the Empire.
ISB or whatever it is,
compared to what...
Like
Tarkin would be more of a politico.
Yeah.
And he will be more of a... more of the military arm.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure on what his role is going to be to the story.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the image of the Bacta tank, what we're assuming is the Bacta tank, and I think there's every reason to surmise that it is, because it does look, it's got the shape of the classic Empire one. I would be very interested to see if this it turns out to be to contain Vader at that precise moment, and they've gone to sort of report into him. Is that the only time we're going to see him in the film, or indeed even the first time?
What, Vader?
Because it could be that we see him in a big battle, and this is, you know, post battle, or this might be prepping for a big what he expects to be a big fight.
Yeah.
It's be interesting to see.
What I'm hearing is that we'll see a lot of a very aggressive Vader on the battlefield.
Yeah. Okay.
That is what I'm hearing at the moment. And I'm hearing that it's quite a significant role for the character. But there is something that. Are you familiar with Shadows of the Empire? That was that tie in story. It was a book and a video game. Steve, you remember that
game and a comic book?
Yeah.
There was a part of that, I'm pretty sure it's that story, because I didn't read much in the way of the expanded universe stuff, but there was something in that story which was about Anakin using the Force to repair himself, and this is before episode 3, so we didn't really know the full extent of what had happened to him, but he was using the Force to repair himself, and he was thinking about Obi-Wan whilst he was doing it, so he got so enraged. I absolutely love this. He got so enraged that it made him so strong on the dark side that he started to repair himself.
Yeah.
His lungs started to get better and his skin started to heal. And then the joy he felt from his success made the dark side go away, so it all undid itself. And he was caught in that horrible,
yeah,
almost like that Dante-like circle of...
What, did his injuries come back?
His injuries immediately came back because he lost the power that he was using in the dark side because he felt joy. So it was... Yeah. And I love the idea.
I don't know,
This,
I can't remember that. When, it may be in there.
I think it was that. I think it was in that story. Mm. Someone will tell us.
I'm sure.
But I love the idea that that might be the Anakin that we see in Rogue One. Because I don't just want to see Vader. I want to see... I like the idea of Hayden Christensen coming back and earning back his stripes, you know? Because he's been given such a rough trot after Revenge of the Sith.
He really has.
And he's because a good actually, actor. He doesn't deserve that sort of feedback. So
agreed.
I loved him in Jumper.
Oh, it was brilliant.
I haven't seen Jumper.
I like Jumper. It's junk food, but it's good junk food, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Taken fan. It's not like that's got any particularly massive cinematic genius behind the plot. It's just it does switch your brain off and enjoy.
Does what it needs to do, doesn't it?
Yeah, and
it's
John
ten
Wick,
times
the same.
Than Taken 2 and 3 put together.
Oh, yes. No argument there.
No, I would like to see Hayden come back, and even if it's just in this, even if it's just an extended cameo as Anakin, and we can see that he's trying to pull himself back, he's trying to get Anakin back.
Yeah.
But obviously he'll still want to use the dark side because he's never going to get rid of that. He'll want to be Anakin, but a powerful Sith Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This one little shot, I think, says all of that to me, but it might be what I'll go with more than anything else.
Yeah, I'd happily go with it. And if it turned out to be true, it'd be bloody amazing.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've scored. We keep shooting so much. We've scored a few in the past, and who knows, this might be one of them.
Yep. If you spray bullets, eventually you hit something.
Yeah, indeed. Hopefully I'm right here. There's a lot to be taken from that shot, but I think that all of that stuff pretty much holds up, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the way to look at it is, even if we're proved completely 100% wrong, we'll still get a Star Wars movie out of it.
Oh, yeah, Christ, yeah. There are no loser here.
Exactly.
Steve, did you have anything you wanted to say about that image?
No, I mean, it's so ambiguous. I think it could be anything. I mean, it could even be Kylo, couldn't it?
It would be a bit, I know what you mean. It's like, it's got the look of it. I mean, I think timeline-wise, it's obviously not all wrong.
It can't be Kylo Ren. It could be a Knight of Ren, but it wouldn't be Kylo Ren.
Couldn't it be Kylo?
Because this is before
episode 4.
Oh, so sorry. We're talking about Rogue.
Yeah.
Of course it is. I got my timeline ruined then.
Oh, you're thinking of episode 8, weren't you?
Yes, yeah. You were just talking about that, yeah. I see what you mean.
Sorry to put a bit of a robot chicken spin on this whole theory, right? But if you look at that image now, right?
Yeah.
That could be a hot tub. The Emperor could be in that hot tub and Vader could be coming in with like a takeaway or something.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there with like
it could be one of those ones like the whether you got the Emperor on the end of the phone and it's like, oh my god, he's crying.
Yeah. And I think if this character in the hood just moves a couple of steps to the left, you'll see Vader, you'll see Palpatine with his hood still up and he's each arm around a Twi'lek just inside that hot tub.
Vader, baby.
Yeah. That's the one. I like that theory better. Right.
Yeah, I like that too. I'll go with either, to be honest. Maybe that's for the sort of special edition Blu-ray.
That's it, yeah. That's it. Maybe they'll use branching technology to give us an option. We can choose which scene we want.
Yeah. Hot tub Palpatine. It's the second sequel to the John Cusack movie.
It's definitely the most evocative picture, isn't it, that one?
Yeah, it really is.
Very much so. Huge amounts of speculation possible.
Yeah,
right,
as we've just proven.
on the subject of both being evocative and inspiring speculation, let's talk about Rey's Force vision in The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Because now that that is out, at least on iTunes, I'm not sure when it's out on Blu-ray. Is it Monday?
Monday, yeah.
I think it's Monday, yeah.
So today when this goes...
Oh yeah, yeah.
When this goes live, it'll be live. It'll be going out today, and anybody who's pre-ordered it will be
watching it,
able to get hold of it that day.
Not listening to us.
Not listening. Hopefully, get this podcast down here before you watch the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
I command you.
Yes, no, well, that's a good thing. Like, if you are watching, if you're listening to us before you've watched this, firstly, yep. your priorities are all wrong, and secondly, there's what? Some information coming up that you're gonna really enjoy. So, chaps, jump over to the Dropbox.
Yeah, I'm in now. Yeah,
so I've put some handy little images in here so that you can see
Indeed.
Them. Now, I've listened to this on headphones at mm-hmm. full volume. Damaging my hearing, I'm sure. But this is what happens. So this image that we're looking at the moment is Ray opening the little wooden chest, right?
Yep.
So she sees the Skywalker lightsaber, and yes. almost immediately we start to hear Vader's breathing.
Mm.
And then
yes.
she reaches in to touch the lightsaber, and before she's even touched it, she's jarred out of reality and into this vision. So if you go on to the next image, you'll see Rey standing in the corridor.
Can you see that's that? Not the no from no gate, is it?
No, this at this point, this is child Rey. So when she's upstairs in Maz's bar,
yes,
she starts to hear cries coming from downstairs. That's child Rey she's hearing. Now, initially, I thought that might have been the kids that Anakin slaughtered. I thought it might have been the ghosts of the kids that Anakin slaughters in episode 3.
That would have been dark.
That would have been dark. And that's what I thought when I first heard that. I thought, oh, my God, they've really gone down that route. But it turns
maybe
out
if it was Guillermo del Toro's Force Awakens.
Yes.
A lot scarier. And they would just, they'd turn around and they'd have no arms and no faces and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Eyes in their belly buttons.
Eyes in their faces, yeah. Eyes in their faces is normal,
that's
isn't
normal,
it?
Yeah. For some of us.
Yeah, I have to get checked out for that.
So yeah, this no is actually child Ray. And so you hear her sort of say, no, come back, no, come back, over and over in this cycle.
Yeah.
So we hear Vader's breathing, she gets sucked into the Bespin corridor, and we're still hearing child Rey scream no.
Yeah.
And then we hear Yoda.
Now, I don't remember hearing this in the cinema.
Really, really clearly. If you stick a set of cans on, you can pick it out really, really clearly. And he says, and there's a bit of echo on it, a bit of reverb. So he says it's energy, and then you hear an echo of the voice saying it's energy.
Yeah,
That's in the next image. If you go to the next image and you see Rey fall out of the Bespin corridor as it flips over Inception style, she's turfed out onto the surface of this planet. And we're not sure what it is yet, this planet, because I'm sure that's to come, isn't it?
What's the fiery planet called?
Mustafar,
that's it, yeah. I had my planets mixed up. You don't think this is a flashback down to Vader's time, do you?
No, this is
Anakin.
Given the change of the shot, I reckon it's the one. This is where either the Jedi school is slaughtered or Luke is sort of being hunted and has kind of gone onto a planet and just narrowly avoided it.
Yeah,
this is the one
where he places his hand on R2's dome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that no, this is now Luke's no from Empire.
Yes.
So we go straight from Yoda saying it's energy, and into Luke's scream of no as he is told that truth, that spoiler from Empire.
Yes.
So then we go back to Yoda. We get more Yoda lines where he says it surrounds us and binds us.
That bit I did hear. Yeah. I remember that bit.
And then you hear...
I wonder if she's getting super infused with the Force at this point.
I think that's the implication. It's kind of washing over her completely.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And that would account for why she's so good so quick. Because she started getting a massive bolt of charged up Force.
Yeah, I think she's getting out of her own way.
There's a theory doing the rounds that she's had some kind of training before, and so it's just kind of being real. Yeah, you know, the Force is awakening.
It's more reawakening
what's been dormant or kind of not used and forgotten about before that point. So that would explain it too. I mean, obviously, you know, I've discussed my feelings on that at length, which is kind of, I think she gets too far, too good, too quick. But I fully expect there to be more exposition to tell us why later on.
There's also some dialogue in here from Obi-Wan as well, which isn't subtitled, because what you can see on the images here are the subtitles. I haven't put those on there, actually, from the iTunes version of the movie. But there is some Obi-Wan in there where he says, you will be tempted and you cannot control it. And that is...
Now, I don't remember that line from... I don't remember that line from Empire.
Well, it's a cut. So he says, you'll be tempted by the dark side of the Force. And then Luke says, I know the Force. I've
learned so much or something,
But you can... He says, I understand the Force. And he says, but you cannot control it.
Right,
so
yes, you're right.
They've cut those two lines together. They've cut Luke's portion out.
Yes.
And they've given him, you'll be tempted, you'll be tempted, but you cannot control it. So now it's almost like he's talking to Rey in her vision rather than that being... It's just repurposed dialogue.
Yeah.
And then we hear Yoda again surrounds us, and then we move on to the next image, and it says, the Force will be with you. But it's Obi-Wan's starting to get lost in the mix here now, and that's when you hear Palpatine.
Now, see, I don't remember hearing that bit in the cinema.
No, I didn't, until I had it on, and then it's his line is, any Jedi.
Any Jedi.
Which is from Sith, about any Jedi is a enemy of the Empire.
Yeah.
So then we start to hear more screaming. This is where Kylo Ren confronts Rey. He takes out the warrior we think might be a warrior of the Knights of Ren. And then he starts to confront Rey. He turns to look at Rey. There's some great sound design in there as well. It sounds like...
Yes.
I'm sure it's either a chainsaw or it's a big cat, like a big predatory cat or something.
Lightsaber?
Actually, when Kylo turns to look at her, it sounds like a growl of a lion or a tiger.
Oh, okay.
It's really...
It's like they do a lot of good stuff with the dark side, don't they, when it comes to kind of percussive sounds like rumbles and things like that. They do a phenomenal job with that stuff.
Really guttural. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then we start to hear more of Child Rey again with the no and screaming. And then she turns around, she spins on the spot.
And she's on a different planet,
She's on Jakku, and she's looking at Little Rey. And Little Rey is screaming about, no, come back. And that's when Unkar Plutt says, quiet.
Quiet, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we go back into the forest. Rey's taken off Jakku. She ends up in the forest, which we believe is going to be Starkiller. This is might be a premonition, much like Luke's vision on Dagobah of his confrontation with Vader. And this is where we hear really, really clever bit of sound editing. And this is Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan Kenobi saying Rey.
Yes.
Which is an astonishing piece of editing.
It's brilliant. It's utterly brilliant. I picked up
syllable out of a word, didn't they?
Yes.
Which one was it again? You told me this a couple of weeks ago.
Afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Come here, my little friend.
Yeah.
Afraid, Rey.
Don't be afraid.
It's hard to get Rey out of that, but I suppose
it's incredible.
It's genius. Whoever did it is a genius.
Yeah.
So that's Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan.
Yep.
And then she stumbles back and she falls down in a corridor. She comes out of the vision completely. And that's Ewan McGregor's line when he cuts in with a little whisper of, these are your first steps.
And then she grows another leg.
And she, apparently,
in the shot, it looks like she's got, it looks like she's got the kind of tumbling set of legs that just sort of spill out from under her. On the subject of the vision, have you heard the latest sort of, it's not news as such, but it's kind of speculation doing the rounds about the Unkar Plutt part of the vision?
No.
Somebody's found a shot of that ship from Legends canon, and it belonged to Luke.
Yeah, I have seen
which
that.
Makes it, which has lent credence to people thinking that either way, whether it's related to family matters or whatever, he's the one who abandoned her on Jakku.
Yeah,
I can believe it.
Yeah, I still like the idea that it was Kylo Ren.
I like that too. I can believe
sneaking her into hiding so that he can come back to her later.
Do you reckon he's going to just switch her back on when they meet, much like Superman can with a kiss? Do you think that Mark's going to switch on all her memories that he's kind of segregated off and turned off?
Well, I suspect that that's probably what Kylo Ren did accidentally in this film.
Yeah.
You know, when he was probing her and she said...
found that barrier.
Yeah. And she said, I'm not giving you anything. And then she started reading his mind and saying, I can tell, I know that you're afraid you're not going to be as powerful as Darth Vader and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think he did it then. I think he probably suspected that she was who she is, that she's the little girl he left on Jakku.
The book certainly gives that impression that he knows who she is the whole way through.
Yeah, there's a lot
and
of dialogue
he's kind of getting
there,
it confirmed. Yeah, getting it confirmed as he goes along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my take on that anyway. I suspect that that was actually Kylo dropping her off.
Okay.
On Jakku.
Maybe stealing Luke's shuttle. Who knows?
Well, I wondered initially, my thought was that he may have taken Han's ship, or taken the Falcon, taken Rey to Jakku and the Falcon, given it to Uncar Platt and said, take this kid and keep her safe and use a little bit of a Jedi mind trick on him, and then said, you can keep this piece of junk as well.
And yeah, but then doesn't Han say that... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was just preempting what you were going to say. She said that there was a whole string of people that had stolen the Falcon. It changed hands a lot, hadn't it?
Yeah, Han was aware of the last one on the list.
Yeah,
because he was the one who stole it from Han. So I don't know. That one doesn't quite gel, unless he's covering up for, you know, he's kind of not letting on as much as he knows or whatever, which is possible.
There's a bit of that in there, isn't there, I think.
Well, bearing in mind they kind of put Han Solo in the Obi-Wan role for this film, it wouldn't surprise me if there's certain things he knows that he's not saying. Because obviously Obi-Wan does that a lot from a certain point of view.
He does do a bit of that. And whilst we're still sort of hovering around the Rey's vision thing, I've got another question here from Connor, who tweeted at us today. Do you think the Knights of Ren in Rey's vision... are what is yet to come? People make the assumption that it is the past, and I think the battle between Luke, Rey, and the Knights of Ren is what we're seeing here.
Thank you. I'm glad it's not just me.
I'm
glad it's not just me who has had that theory at some point, because I was convinced that particular bit of the vision was a sign of things to come, because in that bit of the vision, it was the first time anybody had actually noticed that Rey was there, and it was adult Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's the first time she'd been sort of actively kind of almost interacted with in the vision, and she was there as an adult. Like, whereas obviously she was sort of being sort of tugged on in the dream, in the vision as a child, that came after. But that was the first time she'd been acknowledged anywhere in that vision. And it was, you know, I can see how if we go with the idea that it was Kylo who sort of spared her from what could potentially be a Knight of Ren, but I think the race of the character that gets stabbed is in the visual dictionary.
Right.
I'm not sure. It looks a bit like one of the ones that was in the deleted scenes from the in the dark. So I don't know whether that's relevant at all, but it does seem to me like there's something to be said for that first instance of her being in the vision as a kind of a physical form.
Mm-hmm.
There may be something to that. So it may be that, you know, in the real kind of, when it actually happens, she'll have a lightsaber.
We've got to have the Knights of Ren though, haven't we, coming up? Because
totally,
that would be awesome.
Totally.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've theorized that Benicio del Toro might turn up as a dodgy politician, but he could easily turn up as a Knight of Ren.
Yeah.
And that would be awesome too.
Steve, do you think this
no
could
one
be the
wants
future?
To see.
Yeah.
You're still there, Steve.
Is that Chewie? Yeah, it wasn't me. That was Rob.
It was a
no, it wasn't. I didn't say a word.
Oh, Steve, no. I heard a car go past, like super fast, loud.
Oh,
and loud.
Car
was, like,
yeah,
Chewie
the
in
car
a
is probably
convertible.
The car is probably background noise in my flat, yeah. I heard Marcus, it was brilliant, because from my side, I just heard Mark go, Steve, do you think it could be the future? And I just hear you go, yeah. It's brilliant.
Steve, do you think this could be the future?
Yeah, I think it's got equal chance of being the future or the past, but I think they've got to set up, they kind of left the Knights of Ren out of it, and I think they need to set them up, and this would be the perfect time to do it, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I would I don't like the idea of Benicio Del Toro going on to that, being a politician at all. I think they need to keep dodgy or not out of it completely. But I think he's such a brilliant actor. They don't want to waste him in a part.
I wonder if he could be Ren. If he is Ren.
What do you mean?
Well, what is all this Ren malarkey? We hear about Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren. Could Benicio Del Toro be somebody who is Ren, and then these are people that are his followers? You know, it could be that
they're all called Ren. They're all something Ren.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all Spartacus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe he is Ren, and they are his followers. They are his disciples. They are his students. Whatever. There's the possibilities are endless. Yeah. Aren't they?
Well, you've assumed that the Knights of Ren are all serving Kylo Ren, but they could all be named Ren and be serving.
Because Snoke says you are master of the Knights of Ren, didn't he?
Leader of the Knights of Ren, yeah.
All right, yeah.
But then he could just be the sort of senior one. He doesn't have to be a kind of he doesn't have to be the strongest Force user. He just has to be the kind of the one that they all look up to. Doesn't have to be leader. Doesn't have to be an elected position. It can just as easily be something that's just natural, and he just leads by his abilities and his skills and his temper.
He may be the most ferocious one, so
exactly.
They all fall into line behind him. Having said that, I think this is the past. I don't think that this is a vision of the future.
Okay.
I agree with everything.
With the exception of the Starkiller base.
No, this is a different bit.
No, just that one section with the Knights of Ren where she sees the Knights of Ren.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And the warrior and Kylo cuts down the warrior. I can see there's value in that question. It could be the future, and certainly a lot of what she sees in that vision is the future, but equally she's seeing a lot of things from the past, and not even just her past. So she's seeing Cloud City, and we know that there's stuff on the cutting room floor. She actually would have seen the jewel as well, because Vader was going to make an appearance for a little while. So she's definitely seeing past that has nothing to do with her. So I think that's what she's seeing when she's seeing Luke with R2. And then when she turns and sees the Knights of Ren, I think that's her memory of when she was a child.
Mm.
And I think that the warrior that was coming, it looks like he's coming to slay her with something.
Yes.
And then Kylo cuts him down.
Mm.
I think Kylo stopped him from killing her because he realised that she had value. And I'm sure that there's a possibility there's some sentimentality there that he didn't want this kid that he's related to, even if he's, maybe he's not, but I'm sure there's a possibility that there is some compassion there. No, I don't want her to die, but I think also he's looking at her as a resource and thinking, don't kill her, I'm going to put her away somewhere because she's going to be useful later. But it could go either way. But I just don't. I don't see it being a vision of the future. I'm pretty sure that's I'm convinced that that's a memory.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, like I say, I'm kind of. I can go with either one's equally probable. Like Steve said, it's a 50-50 chance.
Hmm.
Okay. Right. Should we do a couple of news points and then wrap this up? There's just a couple of things that I think we're 1:15. I'll get the scissors out and buy us a bit of time, but I think there's going to be there's a couple of news points that will be a very good thing to drop in here, like this top point under discussion points, which humorously says, let's kick off with, as if I knew what we were going to be doing. there's some pretty solid rumours that Alden Ehrenreich is Han Solo.
I've heard this. It did the rounds today, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting.
If you dropped a URL in there, Mark.
There's a URL in there to Making Star Wars, which is...
He's the guy with the cowboy hat.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He was my favourite at the time, if you remember, because I'd found that image that made him look like Harrison Ford in American Graffiti. Yes. But you guys preferred another chap. I can't remember who it was.
Well, none of them look like Harrison Ford when you're looking at Anthony Ingerber, are they?
No, that's true.
But this young man has certainly gotten a lot of positive buzz after Hail Caesar.
Yes, I've heard this. He was one of the two. I think there were three we talked about in depth, weren't there?
Yeah.
He was one of the two that I'd have gone with.
One was the young man from
Kingsman.
Kingsman, yeah.
Who yeah, I thought, Taron to be Egerton. Honest, very good, but just didn't quite work for me in my head. And the other guy was from Transformers, wasn't he?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and he was my pick, I think, of the two. He was my he edged it for me, but I think Aaron Wright's a perfectly good shout, because he's obviously, we know, because he's played in the Coen Brothers movie, he can do that kind of sly comedy that Han Solo is kind of famous for. So there's no reason why he can't do the... I think he can do the job.
Yeah, I think he can. I like the look of him. I haven't seen Hail Caesar yet. I've seen some of the stuff in the trailer. I've seen some scenes with him in.
Yeah.
He certainly has some charm.
Mm-hmm.
And this has come from Deadline.
Yeah.
We're going to be out in July, aren't we?
At Celebration, by the looks of things, yeah.
Yeah, mm. We should be kind of cool.
Boots on the ground, Steve.
Damn straight.
So I think that's a pretty good... I wanted to cover that tonight, especially because I think that's pretty good. A pretty good chance that it's going to be true.
Yeah. As a quick aside question, actually.
Yes, score me.
When I read the article, I can't remember where I read it, but I read a story that said he was kind of being touted as the serious choice now.
Mm-hmm.
There was wording in there that suggested that at one point two more actors had been suddenly thrown into the mix. Did you read anything about that?
No, but I...
That's me neither.
I've been hearing...
It's the first I'd heard of it.
Whispers that there may be a brother.
Oh, right.
Han may have a brother. That may form part of...
Oh, okay.
...what we're seeing there.
Okay. Is there anything about that in the extended universe?
He has a cousin in the Legends canon who becomes quite famous later on in the... About 15 years after Jedi, he goes back to Corellia, and there's a sort of... I can't remember what it is. It's like a super... I'm sure there's like a super weapon that's built in Corellia systems that uses the two... That's right. I think there's a pair of twin planets called Talus and Tralus, and I'm sure there's a super weapon that harnesses their energy to sort of shoot out through space. And he has a cousin called Thraken. He turns out to be a wrong'un.
Surprising.
You got away with that one. Yeah, you just about got away with that one, Mark.
Because we're after dark teasing.
But he has a cousin. I don't recall ever having seen a brother turn up in the expanded universe. But then, in the most recent comics, I think they've introduced a wife.
Yeah,
that's obviously no longer in the picture by the time Empire rolls around, but turns up just after New Hope.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a oh man,
face to face with Leia. It's very very odd,
very surreal. Yeah, very weird.
Okay,
bold.
So watch this space for more developments on the heart. Well, don't watch this space. Watch makingstarwars.net because they've got stuff all over it. But
and talk Star Wars.
Let's talk about Ewan McGregor, and then we will get the Force out of here.
All right.
We sort of hinted at this earlier on that we were asked, weren't we, by was it Florida Is Sinking that what spin-offs we would want, and I said Obi-Wan. Ewan wants Obi-Wan as well. Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys have seen that interview, but he's all over it.
Oh, totally, yeah. And I think he, you know, it's no surprise that somebody would love being in Star Wars, because everybody you speak to, I mean...
Yeah, but I think for him, he wants to make amends.
I think maybe. He wants his Star Wars experience. I don't think he...
He doesn't feel like he got it.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yes, that's right. You're exactly right. Mm. That's what I meant.
He wants to
be free to act, I think, because they were so controlled during the prequels.
Mm.
You know, and his acting skills really didn't count for diddly, did they, in that film? It was all two-dimensional.
He was certainly the best. I've seen this said a lot in connection with Ewan McGregor and the prequels, is he was, without doubt, the best part of those movies.
I would agree with that.
100%.
And I really liked the flavour he added to the Obi-Wan character. There was a little bit of charm, a little bit of wit in there. He wasn't as serious as Ben by the time we get to episode 4. He was much more jovial and really seemed to like what he did. And so I'd be interested to see a blend of those two things. I'd be interested to watch Ewan sort of meld the character we left in Sith into the character we first saw in the desert in A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really interesting to see. And he's even saying he thinks there's a trilogy there. And he knows, unlike most of these actors, he knows exactly where it would take place. He's really clued into it.
Which I think and he could end up being the age of, the real Ben.
Alec Guinness by the time he finishes, yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd be brilliant. I'd love to see fantastic. That.
There are no rules here either because we know that he goes to Tatooine and we know that 20 years later he leaves Tatooine, but we don't know what's gone on in the meantime.
He doesn't have to stay there every day religiously, does he?
No. I know, like, the prospect, and I've been saying this for years, literally years now, that Ahsoka could go and bring him out of hiding and ask for his help, and then we'll get a live-action Ahsoka Tano.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. And the way Disney are going with pouring the strong female characters, and very welcome it is too, into these movies, it'd be fantastic to bring one out of animation where she's already earned an audience.
Yeah.
And give young girls something in this. It will be certainly male-centric when you're having a Obi-Wan movie. Then you want to cater to the female audience as well. And there's Ahsoka, and she's got a built-in audience that will be a lot more grown up by the time these films come out.
Yeah.
I mean, double down on that one.
Yeah, I'm
please.
All for it.
I saw him on Twitter a while ago, maybe a year ago now, where he'd said he was doing an impromptu Q&A one morning, and I just jumped in, and someone had said to him, "Would you ever put the cloak back on?" And he said, "Absolutely." And I've put something out. I don't know if it was, I don't think it was Talk Star Wars at the time. I think it was still a Movie Geeks Film News. And I put something out that morning saying, if Kathleen Kennedy hasn't picked up the phone to Ewan this morning, she's missing the trick because
he's
up for it big time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I, like I said, I'd love to see it. It would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah.
I'd be definitely up for it. I think, like you say, he was one of the, not only the believable characters, but the most sort of personal characters.
Yes. He had a lot of growth over the trilogy.
Okay, on that note, let's get out of here. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Star Wars, chaps. Where can people find you?
Well, I've started doing videos again on YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'm enjoying them. They're very, very good.
Well, they're not that good.
No, they are good a lot. That time-lapse stuff, I think, is fantastic.
I must do some more of that.
I was watching some of your macro work as well, Steve, and your insects and macro stuff.
Not bad with an iPad. iPad and a £3.50 lens.
Shocking.
Wow.
Really,
I know.
Really good stuff.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and a lot of time, because you never get it right first, second, or 20th.
No,
and the insects don't like sitting still. You have to get them on a cold. I always do it after the rain because they're all sitting there cold, and they don't move a lot. There's a nice one of a Chalk Hill blue butterfly on there. But anyway, the channel's God, that sounded boring. The channel's Calistine, Calastein, and there's DIY stuff on there and loads of sort of environmental stuff. I've just started doing videos again, but all the support and all the money raised from the advertisements on YouTube. Oh my God, I said advertisements. Advertisements on YouTube goes to the World Land Trust, which is a fantastic,
so
charity.
Let the ads play. Let the ads play out.
Yeah, play out.
Steve, is that the one you did the run for?
I do everything for them. I've shaved my hair, dyed my hair green, covered my car in trees, walked miles, 1,000 press-ups in an hour. You name it, done the lot, mate.
Yeah, sounds pretty pretty extensive.
They are an amazing charity, absolutely amazing. And they all the money goes directly to saving rainforests, which is going to keep us alive to allow us to watch more Star Wars films. So
exactly,
it's quite important.
Exactly.
What about you, Rob?
So my channel is called Emotionally 14. That's emotionally and then the numbers 14. It's also got an associated Twitter, Facebook, and website, emotionally14.com. There are podcasts. There are videos of me unboxing all sorts of geeky stuff, miniature games, toys, all sorts of stuff. I've just started picking up subscription boxes, so I've started unboxing those for a bit of fun, extra fun. And we're also I've just last night started work on post-production for some more Let's Play video game content. So there'll be a chance to see myself. There'll be a chance to see the main sort of gaming guy, Blake. And then there's a video of me and Blake playing together, which is, it was a ton of fun to do. And hopefully it's 10% of the fun that it is to kind of view. Then it will be, for, you know, if it's 10% as much fun as it was to record, then it'll be a one of the most popular videos of all time. It was so much fun.
Cool. Okay, there'll be links to both of those outlets in the show notes.
Oh yeah, Twitter. I forgot about Twitter as well.
Yeah,
I've got at my own Twitter at Rob Wade Vision. So enjoy that.
Yeah, that's on there as well. Find everything I do at Talk Star Wars on Twitter, talkstarwars.co.uk. Please head over to the homepage and just click on that. Donate and give whatever you can afford to Hayley's Heroes, a well worthy charity.
Yeah, we're giving £1 million, but don't let that sway you.
You know, just whatever you can spare is fine, you know.
Just pass that £1 million to me, Steve. I'll make sure it gets there. Okay.
Yeah, right.
We'll see you next week, everyone. Thanks very much.
Ta ta.
Thanks bye-bye. For listening, guys. Bye.